Cowboy.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Friday morning to you, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, is baseball in a buzz this morning. Jim Crane, the Astros owner, speaking yesterday at their spring training complex in West Palm Beach, Florida. Didn't really go all that well for him and the team. My question at the start of it, my question continues to be this. When all of it's done, when it's all been put to bed, when the apology is a non-apology and baseball moves on to the regular season, how many people across the country are still going to feel outrage at what the Astros did? Is this one of those crimes that doesn't have the same level of feeling like fans were cheated out of something like they did when the steroid era really exploded? When the steroid era exploded in the late 90s, we enjoyed what we were getting, right? We had these home run rays. It was fun to watch. It was compelling. You know, you were watching guys hit home runs. You were watching a lot of guys kind of hit to that 60 mark. Then when we realized what we were watching and what we now know what was going on with the players, we felt like we were cheated. We felt like, no, there was some damage there. We were all in on it, and you weren't doing that correctly, and you weren't doing that right. The Astros were a really great story in 2017. They were a championship. They won a championship in a city that was looking for something after Hurricane Harvey. They had very, very likable players. They were a fun team. They built it from the ground up. They were the way you'd want your team to build a championship if you weren't going out there and getting the greatest free agents on the market that you could get. They were a very, very compelling story and fun. And now we're looking back and saying all of that's gone. But does it still have the same carryover? Does it still make you feel like baseball's in a disastrous zone, like we did with the steroid era? Because the steroid era resulted, if you don't want to remind you here, they had a congressional hearing on this. Remember, there were members of Congress asking Rafael Palmeiro and Sammy Sosa and Jose Canseco and Curt Schilling all about Mark McGwire, all about this, for whatever reason. If you're Rob Manfred, you don't want it to get that far, do you? The Astros and their apology and the fallout coming up is SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's the Valentine's Day edition of the show. Whatever that means, take it for what it is.
It's the love show.
It's the love show. Oh, yeah, not a lot of love for the Astros yesterday on their apology stop before we get spring training rocking and rolling. Now, when the Astros first arrived at spring training with pitchers and catchers reporting, media was not allowed. They had, like, roped off the area. You weren't allowed to interview. They wanted to control all of this. So they waited until yesterday to have, like, a press conference. Jim Crane was there. Alex Bregman was there. Jose Altuve. Dusty Baker had nothing to do with it, but he's their new manager. He was out there as well. Speaking on this, but a lot of the focus is on what Jim Crane said or didn't want to say about the sign stealing scandal, saying that he didn't think it impacted games, but then he said, well, it did impact games, but we're not losing the World Series out of it. The players shouldn't be punished because in the end, there were adults that were responsible for their actions that didn't do their job. It wasn't a great look. It wasn't a great look at all. But we got some clips of this, and I really want to, you know, focus on the larger picture here, which is, if you're baseball, what are you doing about this? Like, how do you get out of this so you can get people excited about the upcoming season and what's on display? But here's Jim Crane saying, basically, that why the players should not have been punished.
We don't endorse the actions that took place. We've apologized. you know, it's been tough on the team and tough on the city and, mm-hmm. and tough on the nation. I don't disagree with that. But the only thing we can do is sit here and say we're sorry. We're going to move forward in a positive way. And you can count us to be a positive force in delivering that message.
May I ask, is it cheating?
Excuse me?
Do you use the word cheating? Was this cheating?
We broke the rules. And you can phrase that any way you want.
Ooh, that was sharp.
We broke the rules and phrase that any way you want. If I was there and I asked that question, I don't know who asked that question, I would have said, well, great, I'm going to use cheating. Is that okay with you?
I would have used the word murder.
Right, exactly.
You murdered the game of baseball.
How about embezzlement? Can we just throw other crime names out there and just see if they stick? Was that okay with you?
I believe that was insider trading.
Yeah, insider trading. That's fun. You can phrase that any way you want. All right, I'll phrase it the way you don't want me to. How about that?
Why are you kidnapping baseball signs?
This was a weird thing. This was a weird press conference because it was like, we're sorry, but we don't really know why we're sorry, because when you push us, we're not really that sorry.
My favorite part was, I love the look of it. If you just see photos of it, or if you're watching video with the sound off, it's just two guys sitting at a table.
Yeah.
Outside. Right. Short sleeve shirts while the rest of the country is freezing.
That's all it is. Yeah. Well, that's what I said at the start of the last hour, which is, this is what baseball has that other sports don't really have, right? Other sports have, you know, training camp. We love training camp in the NFL. People go and they want to watch. It's summer. But there is an attachment to baseball with the season, with spring, that is so embedded in the sport, because when you are in a cold weather climate, if you grew up in a cold weather climate where there's snow on the ground and the wind chill is terrible and you're walking through it to get to school and all of those things, there is, when your local media is on the 6 o'clock news and the sports guys are in sunny Florida or warm Arizona, there is something about that that is very compelling. It is very cool because you know that spring is coming. Right. We get in football weather when we get to the fall, but we have to go a couple of weeks before we get to that point. You look down at Florida and Arizona and you're like, I know it's coming. It's coming. And it's so beautiful. I got to get down there. People make pilgrimages down to spring training just to get out of the cold weather to see some baseball. There's a romanticized aspect of it. And here is baseball going into the 2020 season. And this is the big story, is a team cheating and the owner coming out and saying, yeah, we broke some rules. Yeah, we're sorry. Yeah, but if you push us, we're not really that sorry, but we don't really know what the impact of this was to begin with, so we don't even know why we're sorry, and if that doesn't make any sense, I'm sorry. Like, that's basically what we got yesterday, right? So here's a long back and forth to highlight this, because earlier Crane had said that he doesn't think the players should have been punished because there were responsible people that should have ended this, and they were punished. AJ Hinch was punished. Jeff Luhnow was punished. So the players weren't. The players should, you know, because players don't know any better. They're going to cheat. If you leave them alone, they're just going to cheat, and they don't know any, they have no scruples whatsoever. So here's a long back and forth about that from the media.
I've heard from a few players at this point, both players who are currently Astros and players who have since moved on, and they've apologized, and none of them have said, I didn't realize at the time it was wrong. They all knew it was wrong at the time. So I guess what I don't totally understand is why you're so willing to absolve them. Of course, yes, the leadership didn't stop it, but they didn't stop a thing that the players were doing that was already wrong, that they knew was wrong. So I guess I'm wondering why you feel that's okay.
Listen, again, I'll refer to the commissioner's report. I think he's taken a position, and I agree with it, that, you know, the players weren't going to be held accountable. The leaders were held accountable, and that's where we're going to leave it.
Sure, but that's a logistical issue from his standpoint, that you can't punish the entire team from the commissioner's office. I mean, the Astros have to be able to field the team this year. From your perspective, why don't you want to do more yourself as the leader of this team?
Well, I think I've done just about everything I can. I mean, when the commissioner suspended the people, I fired him.
But again, that's the leaders. I'm asking about the players.
Well, you know, the commissioner has dealt with the players, and I stand behind his decision. I'm not trying to hide behind the decision. I agree with the decision. So we're not going to do anything to the players.
Okay. Okay, Joel, right here.
He was so unprepared for this.
You know what? Kudos to, I don't know who that reporter was.
I don't know, but she was great.
That was great questioning.
He was so unprepared for this. It's ridiculous.
The commissioner said so.
Yeah, well, the report came out and, you know, we handled it the way. She's like, yeah, I know, but that's a logistical problem. Right?
Perfect response, by the way.
Right? So I love what she said. The Astros have to field a team. So what did you want them to do? Fire everybody? Like suspend everybody so that the first 10, 15 games of the year are suspensions? Like, you know, you forfeited all of those games because your team wasn't able to play?
You have to suspend the entire team for the year.
Right.
All
the players. So you went 0-162.
So, I mean, that even includes, like, Marwin Gonzalez, who's playing for the Twins. He's suspended
he can't
for the
play
year.
Either.
Jake Mariznick for the Mets. Or, Garrett Cole wasn't on the team then.
Right.
So he's okay. He gets a free pass.
You mean to tell me that, you know, he was so, I mean, just taken aback by this. Because I think he had the idea that he was going to go out there and he was going to say, I did my job. I fired A.J. Hinch. I fired Jeff Luna. I fired these guys. And you know, they were just suspended.
And then get the pat on the back
right.
that he rightfully deserves.
I could have kept them. I could have and just let them deal with their suspensions and brought them back. But I did not do that. I fired these guys. And the media was like, yeah, okay, that's great. But now why aren't the players in your culture, in your team? This is the team you own. They're your employees. You're signing their checks. Why aren't you doing anything? Well, baseball said that they didn't have to. Yeah, but they didn't tell you had to fire those two other guys either. They just said they're suspended. You could have kept them around. You could have told them, look, you're suspended without pay. We'll have an interim manager. I'll move somebody into the GM ranks from internal, you know, internally. We'll get through this season, and both of you have your jobs back when the suspensions are over. But he didn't do that. So, but basically what she's asking is, why didn't you get rid of Alex Bregman? Why aren't you getting rid of Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa? Why don't you get rid of George Springer? Why aren't you getting rid of these guys? And he is not answering that. Like, he could have just said, because I don't want to. Because right? they're great players and I want to keep winning. With or without the sign ceiling scandal, I want to keep winning.
Yep.
But he threw it off to, the commissioner told me I didn't have to, so I don't have to. They're not punishing them, so I'm not punishing them. But when they did punish some people, I took even more action than that.
I mean, is it possible that his PR department just kept going, hey, whenever these questions get asked, just defer to the commissioner's decision?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's probably what
just
they told
pivot.
Them.
Just pivot. It's like when you get debate prep as a candidate. Let's say they ask you about that marijuana charge from you were in college. Pivot to universal health care. You're like, got it. Right? So when somebody said, you know, I got to digress. There's a funny story about that. I have a friend of mine who runs political campaigns and I love talking to him about this stuff. Cause I'm not a political guy. I follow it a little bit, but like election time I do, but I don't midterms and stuff. I love asking him about the kind of, the shadiness of politics. Right. But he preps candidates. Like you basically hire his company and like, let's say Ron, you're just sick and tired of what's going on in Houston and you want to run for mayor. You would hire him to handle everything.
Yes.
Bumper stickers, buttons, t-shirts, debate prep. Like it's like a one-stop shop. That's his company. So he was telling me about, remember Tom Osborne, the head coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers? So he was telling me that he goes, so when Tom Osborne ran for Senate, I think, he goes, so Tom Osborne's beloved in Nebraska. So they basically told him, like, if you get to, like, obviously he had some issues that he wanted to talk about, but they kind of told him, when you get a question about a policy or something that you're not comfortable with, just pivot to coaching Nebraska. Like, so my friend said, what would be weird would be watching like these kind of like town halls that they would do. So Tom Osborne would be up against like this other guy and this, you know, this state politician or whatever. And they would be in these towns and somebody would say, what do you think about, you know, government helping out the healthcare of the farmers? And the one guy would go, here's a 5-step plan that is going to help with the healthcare of our citizens here in Nebraska, right? I'm 1, 2, 3, and you go through the whole list. And then he goes, and he gets to Tom Osborne, and Osborne goes, healthcare. I wish we had better healthcare before that 1982 Orange Bowl. And everyone would just laugh and clap and applaud. And it was just, I was like, that's what happened. He goes, yeah. He goes, he would always defer to Nebraska. And he had some good policies. It wasn't all about that, but he would always kind of defer changing the topic around.
You know what line that is? What, San Dimas High School football rules.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I thought it was funny. He was really telling me, he goes, yeah, he goes, it was a sight to behold. So I totally forgot Tom Osborne ran for Senate. So I didn't, like, or Congress. I totally forgot he did
but
that.
But Nebraska didn't love him enough to elect him?
Oh no, they did. He was in Congress in the Senate. Yeah, I didn't know he was there.
I totally live in Nebraska.
I don't know, but I, you know, it kind of reminds me of that, right? Just like whatever answer they just pivot to the fact you fired AJ Hinch and Jeff Luna. So whatever they ask, just pivot to the fact that you're a tough owner that fired these two guys. They'll love you for it. Don't worry about it. They'll take care of it.
I didn't have to fire them. Right. They were already suspended for a year. I could have kept them.
You fired them. You're lucky I fired them. They were an embarrassment to this organization. I will not allow them to be here whatsoever.
They were an embarrassment to baseball.
At what point do you think he looked around and went, get me out of here. Somebody please start a fire or sound off the hurricane alarm.
I'm surprised he didn't.
Somebody do something. Get me out of here.
I'm surprised he didn't turn to the press coat. Any of you guys have questions for Dusty?
Yeah, right. I'm surprised. I don't know who that woman was, but you're right. Kudos to her. That's great work.
She nailed it.
They nailed it. I love that. That is. She's not messing around. She's like, come on now. That's good. That was good. That's good reporting. That's good. That's good press conference fodder, if you will. That's good stuff. All right. Again, Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue to cover that. We'll continue to look at some of that. We got a lot more cuts from that. But coming up next, a little more an issue in the NFL from last season that was brought out again yesterday. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day, all of you. There's still cards and candy and roses out there to get if you've waited to the last minute. Like many of you have. Go get your stuff. It's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O'Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store. Take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so Myles Garrett's been reinstated by the NFL. He sat down with Mina Kimes at ESPN and said that Mason Rudolph did indeed use the N-word against him in their altercation back in November. Now, you remember this because, this was not brought out in any of his media talks initially after it had happened. He did not make any accusation against Rudolph that he had done this. And it was only until the NFL was kind of looking into it and the NFL was processing his suspension and going through that, and he was going through his appeals process, that he mentioned this, and then it got out and then he stood by it. But Browns players, remember Browns players said, oh no, he never said anything. There were some Browns players that said that. Some Browns players did say he said it afterwards, but Baker Mayfield was one that said, no, I never heard this after the game. Some other Browns players said they didn't hear him say this after the game. Steelers players that were on the field said they didn't hear this whatsoever. But if you watch the video, if you remember, those two were kind of isolated for a moment because they were dragging each other to the ground, and Mason Rudolph had grabbed the face mask, and Myles Garrett had the helmet off, and that's when he used it. David DeCastro of the Steelers on the offensive line was near the air, but not really quite near the area. The NFL did its investigation. They found no evidence that this took place. Steeler players have backed Mason Rudolph. That is not the kind of guy he is. They've never seen any indication that he would ever use that term, use that word to describe anything ever. They were blown away when Myles Garrett brought this up. So Garrett has been accused of using this as a way to ease his suspension, to ease up his appeal, so that it wouldn't be a longer suspension than it might have been if the NFL was not certain that he would even come back for this upcoming season. It's a very sticky situation because on the one hand, if Mason Rudolph did say this, and Garrett is sticking by that story, it's awful. But if Mason Rudolph didn't say that and Garrett is making it up, that's awful too. It's a really kind of touchy situation that's now coming back because Mina Kimes did good work on the interview with Myles Garrett. But again, you go back to the November conversation about this. There were so many things that pointed to this not happening, but at the same time, you have to leave the door open that it did happen. But there were so many people, again, there was, Steeler players who said Mason Rudolph's not that kind of person. Nobody remembers him really saying this immediately. I think a couple of players actually of the Browns did say he spoke to them immediately afterwards, but he did not say that to the team in general in the locker room immediately afterwards. He kept it to himself until he was able to speak to the NFL. It did end up getting leaked. Then he stood by it. He didn't make it a big deal initially, just using it in the process of going through the appeal of his suspension by the National Football League, right? If he had done this right away, if he had said this to his team right away and got the support of his teammates, so maybe even if he didn't say it in the locker room following the game, when the reporters are in the locker room talking to the players, and remember, they were going to ask everybody about this. So it wasn't just a Myles Garrett thing. They were going to ask Baker Mayfield about it. They were going to ask everybody on the Browns about it. How did this go? How did this feel? And if you remember, Baker Mayfield's initial reaction to it, this whole incident in the beginning, was that it was awful and terrible and he could be ruining our season by doing this and we can't tolerate this. Mayfield never even came out afterwards and said, after I went into the locker room, I knew the story and now I changed my tune on that. That was the on-field interview that Baker Mayfield did because the Browns had won the game, but this he knew was going to be a problem for the Browns going forward. He knew that Garrett was going to get suspended for this. He knew that was going to affect their defense. At the time, it was mid-November. The Browns were trying to turn their season around to try to make a playoff push. They had winnable games on their schedule to close out the year, and this was going to be a problem. He reacted very negatively to this on Garrett's point, not just this is an ugly situation that we wish it wouldn't happen. He was calling out Garrett for this decision as being poor. This was not good. This was a bad look, et cetera, et cetera. Ruined a very good night for this team. But even afterwards, he didn't come out, which you probably would want to in that situation if you're Mayfield, to say to the press, by the way, I got more to this story once we went in to the locker room, showered up and left, and talking to Myles Garrett, I found out this, and now I'm not so angry about how this happened, and I'd like the NFL to act. One of my players was called this by an opposing player. I'm one of the leaders on this team, and I'd like the NFL to look into this. That was not said at all. In fact, the organization as a whole didn't come out and say this as a whole. They didn't back Garrett up at this initially from day one. So it does. It's a situation that's brought up, and it's got to be problematic for Mason Rudolph because, again, it kind of disappeared. He had a statement. His PR firm came out. His lawyer came out and said that this is a debilitating accusation. This is not true. This is uncalled for by Myles Garrett. All of the things that you would do in a denial. And now here it is, it's February, Garrett is sitting down in an interview to try to once again kind of build back up some of the relations that he lost with this incident, trying to change an image, and he sticks by this story months later because he was asked about it, and now Rudolph is going to have to deal with this again. If you're Garrett, you have to stick by this story all the way to the end, right? Even if you may have not heard what you thought you heard, and you're maybe not sure, and you kind of said it, hope it wouldn't be leaked, hope it wouldn't come out. Now it's come out, you have to stand kind of by it, right? But in Mason Rudolph's case, he may have to go through that whole process again of making sure that he reminds the general public that he didn't say this, if that's what his camp wants to portray, which is what they want to do. So again, it's a really bad situation, I think, for both players, because, again, for Myles Garrett, he, again, is reinstated, but he's got this hanging over in terms of his reputation. For Mason Rudolph, because he has to deny once again that he didn't use this derogatory term in the altercation with Myles Garrett, something that could really damage him in any field, whether it's on the field for football or off the field, and possible, you know, not endorsements per se, because, you know, how much do you get when you're the backup quarterback, but any sort of future dealings. I'm sure if he were to be cut by the Steelers and he was looking for another job, teams would seriously ask him about it. And if he didn't say it, that's tough to have hanging over you.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. We have reached the end of the week. This week went fast. Did it go fast for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of did. For me, it did. I don't know about anybody else. I always say that to people, and I go, man, this week went by fast. And I go, well, not for me.
No, like, but you know
I'm like, oh, sorry about that. I didn't really, you know, I shouldn't assume it went fast for you.
I think for the lack of live sports this week went by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
There's been plenty for us to dissect and get into.
We have had our inside of our house being painted, and all the TVs, yesterday was the first time all the TVs in my house were shut down. Like, all of them, because we had to wait for all the rooms to dry, and he kept coming back every day, touching up different, you know, the same rooms. And so finally he said, okay, in that room you can put the TVs back up.
You need to send them out here.
Yeah, I know.
Because our house, before we moved into our house, like, they had hired someone to paint, and she did a terrible job.
Oh,
she literally just painted over, like, where people nailed stuff into the wall.
And
you could tell that that's fresher paint versus the older paint that has settled. And so we have, like, a lot of these weird looks in our room throughout the house. You look around, it's like, yeah, I can tell she painted right there.
Yeah, before we get to the good of the day, I gotta say, for those of you out there, that if you listen to the show and you're a professional painter, like a room painter or outside of a house painter, I now have a mad respect for you. I didn't realize how... one, how easy you guys make it look. When I paint a wall, it takes me forever. When you guys paint a wall, it's like 10 minutes. It's fantastic. Well done. He was great. Our house looks great. My wife cried tears of joy seeing our new living room and kitchen.
And there's your good of the day.
That's my good. That's the best Valentine's Day gift I could give, right?
Oh, you're...
Even though she organized the whole thing and hired the guy and not his resume, but he came highly recommended. Yep. She handled the whole thing. But I'll take credit for it as the Valentine's Day gift.
I would, because you opened the door to let him in.
Right. That's right. So I'm responsible for that. So there you go.
He could have done a terrible job, and she would have called you out, like, why'd you open the door?
That's right.
Like, I had no idea, honey. I shouldn't have never have opened the door. I should have fired him on the spot.
All right, so what's the good of the day on a Friday?
The good of the day is, oh my God, Jennifer Aniston turned 51.
I know.
If you have not seen the photos that have been perusing the interwebs of this past couple of days, do yourself a favor. You can stop listening to the show right now. Well, not really. But you can go and just Google Jennifer Aniston. It'll probably be the first thing that pops up. On your Twitter feed. Just type in Jennifer Aniston. It'll probably be these photos. I can't believe she's 51.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
She
but
looks
they
incredible.
Have they have people with them every day.
I wish some of us had that access. I know it's the Hollywood lifestyle, but I mean, still, 51 is 51.
I like it when an actor or an actress loses like a ton of weight, and then they're honest as to how that happened. Like when you see an actor, especially an actor that like Jonah Hill, for example, that lost
just
a ton
about
of
to
weight.
Mention, yep.
And then when they were just honest, when they go, look, okay, I've got a Hollywood studio behind me that's paying for a personal chef that gives me meals every day. I don't have to cook. They just hand me what to eat. Then I have a trainer that I get to go to every day. While you're at work at your job and you're too tired to go to the gym, my job is to go to the gym. That's what they pay me to do.
Yeah.
So I have to go to the gym, and I only eat what they give me. So I'm naturally going to lose weight. There you go.
But
I have the best people in the industry monitoring this.
Here's my thing, Tony. When we were younger, when we were kids, say, you know, when we were riding our bikes, skinning our knees.
Right.
Didn't 51, wasn't that like an old woman?
Oh, God, yeah. No doubt. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that it isn't the progression of us just getting older, looking at 51-year-olds going, you know, you're not that bad, because we're closer in age to them than
we were
when we were skinning our knees as 8-year-olds.
That's a good point. Do you remember when you were a kid Maybe, and I'm not, I don't know if this happened to you or not, but it happened to me. When I was a kid, I lived in this like neighborhood and I would go around and like with my friends and we would like bounce the basketball and we would like head over to the court. And there was this girl in our neighborhood that lived a few houses down and her name was Stephanie. And Stephanie was going out with this guy named Peter and both of them were seniors. And I think I was like in eighth grade and they were like adults. Like he drove a car and he was like 6'2" and she was beautiful and she had blonde hair and she was, you know, she was a young woman. And we were like in eighth grade and we were just like, oh, now you get older, you look and they're kids, no matter how old they are. They're kids.
Yeah. No, that's,
right. So is that what we're seeing with Jennifer Aniston? Because we're closer to that age and maybe young people look at Jennifer Aniston and go, yeah, but she's old.
Yeah. I don't, I mean, do you, I,
that's be hard tough. To see. That's I did tough. Show my son a picture of Christie Brinkley at 60-something years old, and I said, that was a swimsuit model when I was a kid. And he was like, what? And I go, yeah, she, as look how beautiful she is. She was a swimsuit model when I was like 4 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was like, what? So that amazed him.
That's when you pop in the movie Vacation going, hey, that girl I showed you?
Yeah.
That's her right there.
That's her almost 40 years ago. Almost 40 years ago, she's in this movie.
Yep.
So maybe kids are looking at Jennifer Aniston going, man, 51.
They have to. I don't see how you can.
I have any problems getting there. I don't mind getting that age.
I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, I'm highlighting Jennifer Aniston, of course, because it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Jen, just in case you're listening.
Right. Right. Happy birthday.
You know, you, when you're on your Peloton right now, because we know you needed one.
Good point. Yeah, but, good for her.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's really highlighting all those. I mean, you know, Elizabeth Hurley still looks
same thing.
You said Christie Brinkley. I saw a photo of like Cindy Crawford not too long ago. I'm like, God, man, what do you got? What juice are you drinking?
I know, it's great. Good for them. Good for them.
Really?
Meanwhile, so I can't bend down and pick up a spoon.
No.
Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
You know, and then I mean, what I loved is everyone like following up the Jennifer Aniston tweets, like showing her from her little scene from We're the Millers.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about, what scene or her, any of your appearances in Horrible Bosses, because I don't know.
She was great.
I don't know what Charlie's problem was.
I know. I don't know either. I have no idea either. Good for her.
She was willing to keep it discreet, Charlie.
I know. She wasn't going to tell anybody, Charlie.
Just saying.
All right. What's the bad of the day?
I actually got two.
Oh, okay.
The first one I'll do is just letting you know that there is an asteroid heading for Earth, and it's expected to come around like February 15th.
My son told me this yesterday, and I said, what, Saturday? And he goes, yeah. And I go, what?
But it was an article put out by like a science publication, total clickbait material, just saying, hey, NASA has located this asteroid. It's about as tall as any man-made structure, and it's heading towards Earth. And then you read through the entire article, and it's like, but it's probably going to miss us by, you know, like a couple million miles.
Yeah, right.
Like basically, you know, the distance we are from the moon, yeah, it's further than that. So
they need to just...
It could make a left turn at Albuquerque. Right. We don't know.
They need to sort of say, here is when it's really, really like... Start digging the caves and get ready to send up the shuttle with the nuclear bomb.
Right.
Like send they need Bruce to say, Willis this the is, the, yeah, we need to send a bunch of oil drillers, roughnecks, right?
Yep.
We need to send them up there and we need to drill the hole. This is how close it has to be. This is how close it would have to be for us to do that. Otherwise, don't tell me. I don't care.
You know,
tell me about the one we have to blow up. That's the one I'm interested in.
I'm glad you mentioned drilling. Because, you know, that was the whole premise of Armageddon was, you know, because these guys up there, they're going to drill a hole. I was watching Deep Impact the other day, and I remember the movie from the first time I watched it. I haven't watched it in years. And I was like, wait, how did they blow up the comet? You know, because, I mean, they were trying to do all these different things, and they were pretty much just slapping it. And then they drilled a little bit of it, but it broke it in two pieces.
Right.
And so two pieces were hurling towards Earth. And then I finally saw the scene again where it's like, well, you know, the sun has kind of broken the comet apart. We can fly up this fissure that's right in the middle of it. And that's, you know, when the space shuttle, those astronauts sacrificed themselves to save all of humanity.
That's right. They had the little one that landed and blew up, what, Paris or something? Or
no, that was Armageddon. The little one landed in the Atlantic Ocean.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Took
and
out
that's,
half
and that's
the East Coast.
Taya Leone
yeah.
and her dad,
yeah,
Maximilian Schnell.
She drove towards it.
That's right. That's right. She went
to spend one last day with her father.
With her father on the beach waiting. Yep. So yeah, that's right. Those two Asteroid movies from 1998. I think.
And you know, maybe it's a bad thought, but every time I see that movie, the thought that goes through my mind when that big wave's hurtling towards them. You know there was some surfer going, oh, I could ride it.
Oh, rock. Yeah, no kidding, right?
Oh, I got this.
That's right. That's right.
The other bad of the day is that there was a Massachusetts man. This is perfect for Valentine's Day, by the way. There was a Massachusetts man who proved chivalry is not dead.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he took a girl out on a bank robbing trip for their first date.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Did they meet on Tinder?
No, I don't know if he picked her up or how it happened, but anyways, he said he was just running into the bank real quick, you know, and she was behind the wheel. So he went inside, robbed it, came out, and she ended up not willingly, was the getaway driver.
Interesting. That yeah. must have been a fun story to tell.
Yeah. I mean, if you think you had a bad first date, I think she trumps all of them.
What did he just come in with a bag and go, would you mind just driving and just drive a little faster than you normally would?
I had to pick up a little cash, you know, and he had like a duffel bag full of hundreds.
And if you wouldn't mind diving into this alley really quick, and if you wouldn't mind, we're going to change cars. Is that okay? We're going to dump this one right here. I'll come back and get it for you, but we're going to go into this car. Is that all right? We'll do that.
I know you are blonde, but would you mind just throwing a little brunette in there?
Yeah, would you change your hair color and maybe change your name again? Take this passport because we're probably going to get out of town a little bit.
You're that's in this great. For the long haul, right, dear?
Good for him. God, that's great. By the way, does anybody seriously? I didn't think anybody robbed banks anymore. Like,
it sounds like
with so many things, the banks with cameras and all these things, it's like it's not like the old days where you could walk in with a bag and a note
and a ski mask,
like in a small town in America, and just go like, fill it up. By the way, and you just remember every line that Hollywood uses. We're taking the bank's money, not your money. Your money is insured, right? Everybody down, like. It doesn't seem like anybody would bother to do that because there's just so many ways now that they could just know it was you. Right? So what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day I'm going to give to the Oscars.
Oscars again? We haven't really quite ended that.
No, there's been a lot of backlash about the In Memoriam.
Oh, yeah, I saw
this. Of all. You know, they left out a lot of key people, and people were just wondering why, like, you know, like, key actors like Luke Perry. Or the child actor Cameron Boyce.
I remember that,
who was in a couple of movies. Tim Conway was left out.
Oh, Tim Conway? They left Tim Conway out?
They left out, yeah. And so, I mean, and the Luke Perry one is the one that got everyone kind of up in arms because of the fact that he was in
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yes, sure was.
So, kind of fresh in the Academy's mind. Well, the Academy finally came out with their explanation. And you know what? The only way I can describe this explanation. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. Forgot how to talk. The only way I can explain this explanation is that they had the Astros PR department helping them out.
Oh, I bet they did, yeah.
So their explanation was the Academy receives hundreds of requests to include loved ones and industry colleagues in the Oscars In Memoriam segment. An executive committee representing every branch considers the list and makes selections for the telecast based on limited available time. All the submissions are included on Oscar.com.
So what they're saying is everyone's In Memoriam on the website, but not in the show.
Right.
I think they should do away with that.
Yeah.
Well, I just think just do away with the In Memoriam. If you can't do everybody, if you can't give us – because there's two things that are going on here really quick. One, they tell us that they need a long three-hour show because everybody's important in the process along the way, right? You may want to see Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Best Picture, Best Director, but we are going to do Best Editor. We are going to do Best Sound. We are going to do Best Screenwriting. We are going to do Best Costume. We're going to do this because these people are important. But then you're on the flip side saying, well, we get a bunch of these throughout the year, but we only have to do the important ones in the memoriam because we don't have that much time. Yeah. So sorry, if your loved one was a great costume designer for 70 years in Hollywood and they died, they may not make it because we just said, nah, they can't.
Or, you know, we will include that costume designer, but we'll bump someone that everyone knows, Luke Perry.
Yeah, that's right. All right, exactly. Good point.
That's pretty much what it comes down to. Because I mean, how many times are you watching that and you're looking at like, no, don't know that person.
Yeah, don't know that, no, yeah, don't know exactly. That person.
Oh, he's a producer back in 40s on films. Yeah, never heard of that guy.
And remember, they had to stop people clapping. They told people, don't clap, don't cheer, please don't. It's a mess because when there are people up there that no one knows, they don't get anything. But when, like, so-and-so is on, like, if Prince is on or something, everybody goes crazy.
Yeah.
So, you're right. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Friday here on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience.
You know what I was just thinking?
Yes.
All this music that we're playing, you know, I'm trying to theme it for Valentine's Day so everything has, like, love in the title of the
right.
song. It's like perfect Astros music.
It is true. That is true. Good point. What a day today.
I mean, just, you know, think of the words and I don't know. It just feels like I mean, every song's like, you know, paying homage to the Astros today.
So I've been asking you this question, and I'm really curious about it because do you remember when the Patriots were in that whole Deflategate thing? And Patriot
and
fans,
they should have awarded the Colts the Super Bowl championship,
right? And they were like, people went through the roof. Spygate, even Spygate. Patriots fans went, you know what, America, screw you, we don't care. Is Astro fan like that with this?
Yeah, you know what the mentality is here, and I've heard this kind of around. They don't really care. They won the World Series. They have the ring. They're not giving it back. The flag is risen. The banner is raised. You know, they're not taking it away or anything like that. But the only thing, the other part of it is that to kind of wipe the slate clean and bring, I guess, a level of respect back to their name is that they should go out and just win it all again.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, get that Tom Berenger line.
It's so weird with cheating because when it's your team, it doesn't feel like there's any angry fan base. Like everyone else is mad, sure, because when do they care, right? Like they feel probably cheated. But when can a team go too far where even their own fans go, I'm never going back. I'm never buying a ticket. I'm not watching you anymore. This is an embarrassment to me, the city, and you guys. Like, it doesn't feel like that happens in any level of sports.